Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lanny.
I don't know. I'm just hearing things, and I regurgitate it on a platform where people watch, and then that spews and creates more nonsense across more platforms. But people are telling me these things, so I'm going to use this tactic to kind of regurgitate and not have a critical thought for myself or reach out to people in the industry that I can actually verify, hey, homeboy said this. This is what I think. I have evidence based on that. No. This is hard stuff. This is what happens. This is the output of hard study. So again, we're not taking shots at one person. We're taking shots at multiple people. Okay? Work ethic, questionable. In addition, also plays at The Ohio State. Let's pull back the kind of background here as far as the quarterback position from there. Recent quarterbacks, Cardale Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Justin Fields. He's the next one in the list. Am I right? Should we be questioning these things? Is there a pattern there? Maybe some work ethic issues? Maybe, what are they teaching over there? For me, now, is that fair? Hell no. It's a dog whistle for racism. Jokes aside, don't stand for that. I'm tired of that narrative.
Heavily edited, but I don't know which gets me more fired up, the metal here on Nick and Cecil, or talking to our friend JT O'Sullivan on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. JT, you kind of set the internet on fire last week with clips of your video floating around, of course, from the QB school. The best quarterback analysis that you can find out there is from JT O'Sullivan, who joins us now. What was the reaction after you set the internet on fire and you saw the people tweeting about your video, tweeting at you? What was your reaction last week, JT?
I had a great time with it. I mean, it was, I think, you know, the thing about those types of things, and you all know when you create stuff and create content, sometimes you do it by yourself and you don't know, you know, how the hell it's going to turn out. And I know I was having fun with it, making it. I know it took me a few times to get through it. And there are definitely elements of that video that are tongue in cheek, and it's an April Fool's thing. But there's the great thing about what I love about satire is there's a lot of truth in there. And I tried to layer in some things that I wanted to say that I thought felt like needed to be said in the moment and use this platform for what it's worth. I'm not used to hearing myself censored. That's a whole new level. You guys are at that corporate level, you know, but that's a beautiful thing about, you know, about word choice. Sometimes it does. There's an element of emphasis that's added to it. And I thought it was called for there. And it's just me being me. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about the channel. There's no, you know, no sugarcoating it. I have fun with it. But I do really believe that stuff too. There's a lot of truth in there for me.
Well, JT, just get right into it, man, because it is very interesting this time of the year when we start talking about the quarterback position, because that is the most important position out of all positions every single year. And we always have draft analysts and, you know, we as analysts come out and we talk about certain guys, but there was something in particular as it pertained to Justin Fields that definitely rubbed you wrong and rubbed both Cecil and I the wrong way. And I want you to kind of elaborate that on that just a little. Why do you think that certain individuals take it upon themselves to kind of undermine and devalue some of these young quarterbacks coming out?
I mean, I don't know if I can really, to be honest with you, give you a why other people say those types of things. I mean, you guys probably know better than I do. You know, sometimes it's hard to have an opinion all the time about things, you know, when it's your job to do that. And so it's not my job to do that, so I don't have to do that. And that's why I can kind of call the BS when I see it. To me, I think it's hard for some people to be able to analyze and examine the prospect versus analyze and examine the institution. I think it's hard for people to separate those things.
Right.
And I'm not saying that I get it perfectly all the time, because I certainly don't. And even what I do on the channel is incomplete compared to what the NFL teams are doing by far. But I do think that there is always this weird, not weird, it's a, you know, a historical racist narrative about black quarterbacks. And when there are successive ones coming out of one institution, I think it all of a sudden, you know, gets whispered about, or, you know, someone heard something from someone else. And that now is normal in our culture to then share that information, when I think that that's BS. And I think that there, and if you got to be able to call people on that, and, you know, the truth is the truth.
And the truth will come out about these quarterbacks, of course, breaking them down for the QB school is JT O'Sullivan joining us here, Nick and Cecil. And JT, the 49ers kind of shook things up when they move up to number three overall. I think it's for Trey Lance, but so many people out there say it's for Mac Jones. You've broken down both multiple times on your channel. What do you think the 49ers made that move for? You know, assuming Wilson's gone, obviously Lawrence gone. Is it for Lance? Is it for Fields? Is it for Mac Jones at number three?
You know, and obviously this is me just speculating, but I do think it's the sweet irony, especially when I talk to people from Denver, is the fact that Rich Scangarella is still determining who plays quarterback for you guys. You know, not that he's making the decision in San Francisco, but, you know, it's Kyle's decision and John's decision in San Francisco, but, you know, he's playing a part in what that looks like. And for me, you know, I don't think I'm doing a very good job of hiding my opinion on the channel. I really like Justin Fields. I really like the top three guys, and I'm going to guess that's exactly what the 49ers said. They basically said, it doesn't matter who we get. We like our top three guys. Now, my top three guys are, you know, Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields. And not necessarily in that order, but it doesn't really matter when you're picking three. You basically have to say, we're good with any of these three. And so I know that everybody keeps talking about Mac Jones, and I really like Trey Lance as well as a prospect. But for me and what I've seen on the film, and again, what I do is incomplete. I'm never talking to these guys. I don't do any deep dives on these guys. I'm just going, hey, what does the film say? And even what the film says, I don't ask the guys what the film says. I'm just taking off my, you know, background, what I think the film says. And so for me, Justin Fields, if he's available at the third pick, is the pick.
JT, take us into the quarterback room and the mind of a quarterback, right? You spent several years in the NFL, and what is that like, or what was it like to know, okay, well, you're playing with a team, you know that they are eyeing another quarterback to bring in either in the draft or in free agency, but set the kind of mood and I guess the mental space for one Drew Lock, as he knows that the team is definitely looking to move on from him or get another quarterback to replace him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can give you an anecdotal story that happened to me specifically. I'm in Green Bay in 2004. Green Bay trades for me. I'm feeling good. You know, they obviously have Brett Favre, who's never comes off the field, but I like my opportunity. I was the backup in New Orleans when I got traded. I'm going to, you know, come and fight to be the heir apparent to Favre. And sure as hell, Aaron Rodgers drops, and they draft Aaron Rodgers, and I'm out of a job. And so, you know, that's life in the league. That's every position. That's not necessarily quarterback. I think quarterback obviously gets the most notoriety because of the position. But that's every – I mean, Nick, you know, like if they draft someone at your position in the first round, really the first couple rounds, you know, you start looking around the depth chart at that position and realize they made an investment in this person. And so that's just the reality of the position. Some of these young guys probably haven't experienced it, but no matter where they go, whatever the situation is, you look across the landscape of the league. I mean, shoot, Aaron Rodgers had somebody drafted in the first round last year to replace him. So that's just that's the way things are done in the league. And once you get used to that, I really think it kind of makes life a little bit easier. I remember towards the tail end of my career, I didn't even watch the draft. I don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know if they draft somebody in my position. I'd like an extra, you know, 24, 48 hours of peace before I have to go compete like hell for my job.
It's JT O'Sullivan from the QB School. Check him out on YouTube and follow him on Twitter as well. And JT, we certainly appreciate your time. My final one for you has to do with Sam Darnold. I think that's a great reclamation project for Joe Brady. I think, like Ryan Tannehill, he could do great things post-Adam Gase. What do you think about the move that the Panthers made? Because they're sitting there at 8, right in front of the Denver Broncos at 9. They see these top three guys are going, right, because of the 49ers power move. They make a decision. We don't want 4 or 5. We want Sam Darnold. What do you think of Darnold? Can he kind of turn things around now with a fresh start?
Yeah, I absolutely think he can turn things around. And who the hell is anybody to say that he can't? I think, you know, it's a bummer because I'm friends with Adam and I like Adam, that it has been, you know, that it hasn't worked out with Tannehill, hasn't worked out with Darnold. But I think everybody who's a fan of the position is pulling for him to get a fresh start. I think any quarterback would like to get an opportunity to figure out what, you know, Joe Brady is doing in the sauce down there with the offense and see what that looks like and go in to be successful. Especially, you know, obviously you got Tom Brady in that division. But besides for the Bucks, you know, all of a sudden that division went from really strong to, okay, I think we've got a chance here.
Right.
And so that to me is also, as much as anything else, something to pay attention to. But I love the move from the Panthers. I probably love the move from the Broncos perspective. You're absolutely right. It takes, you know, if they go quarterback in the top 10, it certainly opens the door to probably getting someone that might not have been available if they were taken off the board there. It'll be fascinating for me to see, you know, what happens kind of that 3, 4, 5 quarterback range, because I think everybody does kind of, it sounds like everybody has, nobody can agree on what that looks like. And if your guy's available, I think, what did they pick at 9? If your guy's available 9, you know, you got to make that move.
So much emphasis on a quarterback's arm when they're coming out of college. Not a lot of emphasis on the footwork. So is it, or what needs to be done if you're a young quarterback? And we've talked about Drew Lock a lot and the lack of footwork and fundamentals. What can be done in a short period of time to somewhat shore that up, if at all?
Well, I think a lot can be done. You know, that's coming from someone who's, you know, I had to revamp my footwork a number of times. And really, anytime you go to a new offense, they're probably going to ask you to do certain things a little bit differently. But you just have to buy into it and understand how important, you know, your base is. I think you hear that a lot in all sports. But quarterback specifically, it's such a, you know, I hesitate because there is such a weird space for, like, quarterback gurus out there that do the one-on-one training that I think really has elevated the game across the board, across all levels. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you get into it, get into higher levels of football, if you have a cannon, you know, I don't know this, I'm just speculating because I threw changeups, but if you had a cannon, you can kind of get away with being a little bit sloppier with your footwork, a little bit more imprecise, where if you're someone who has to rely on timing, precision, those things translate to Sundays because everything is timing-based, precision-based, and those things. I think that's why people, you know, that's probably why when you turn on the Mac Jones film, why people gravitate so much towards it, because you can see the processing, you can see the timing, you can see kind of that Sark offense of his footwork timing up with him getting through reads, and that's exactly what you want to see on a Sunday quarterback. And so those types of things are easily transferable when you say, hey, can we project this guy to be able to do this on Sunday? Well, he'll be doing the same exact thing. Now, he won't be throwing to wide-ass open guys all the time, but he will be doing the same footwork with the same timing, same progression, those types of things.
Well, man, it's always a pleasure to have you on, because just like Cecil and myself, you tell the truth, you always bring the heat, and continue to do that on your YouTube channel, The Quarterback School, man. I'm looking forward to some more stuff. And after the draft, I mean, there's going to be a lot of quarterback conversation, whether the Broncos make a move or not. So we definitely have to get you back to recap that, man. So have a great night, and thank you for giving us some time on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Hey, Nick and Cecil, y'all, I really appreciate it. Always have fun chatting with you guys. Best of luck. Enjoy the draft, and I'll see you on the other side.
Boom. There he is on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, JT O'Sullivan. Everyone watch the QB School. You want true quarterback breakdown done from a very knowledgeable coach, a very knowledgeable player that definitely could sling it. And slinging the truth here on the show, Nick. That's what he does.
Yeah, he does. And I like JT because he always bring, you know, that fire, but more importantly, his knowledge of the games. So much wisdom in his quarterback school, you know, videos. I sit down and I watch them, and I look at it from a defensive perspective of his breakdowns. Okay, well, how would I defend the guy that he's definitely breaking down? How can I find the weaknesses in that particular player? Because I already understand his strengths. So it's always a great time to come have JT join us, and hopefully our listeners, you know, those who are traveling, restocking shelves, they definitely appreciate that knowledge.
It is Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And does it take a Brock Osweiler move to move Teddy Bridgewater? That's next.